is Over the Garden Gate, a program brought to you by the University of California Cooperative Extension Master Gardener Program of Tuolumne County. The mission of the UCCE Master Gardeners is to provide research-based gardening information to the public. If you would like to contact our Master Gardener Program, please call our hotline, which is area code 209-533-5912. The hotline is not manned full-time, but we do pick up our messages and we will get back to you within the week.
This next show is part two of Mary Campbell's presentation on propagating native plants. Enjoy!
Well, welcome everybody tonight. This is great that everybody's here because we have a wonderful presenter, Mary Campbell with the Garden Company. Mary's got so much experience. Her topic tonight is propagation. And so without further ado, Mary, take it away.
All right. Hello, everybody. I'm Mary. I have a nursery up the hill in the Salisburyville area. We grow all of our plants locally, in case anybody didn't know. And I do a lot of propagation of various things. The whole idea with the nursery is that we try to grow things that work really well for people in the area. So anyhow, as I was saying, we have a little nursery. We grow everything locally. We try to grow plants that work really well for people in areas like this, which aren't always the ones that are sold in the trade, obviously. So I have a background in horticulture, studied horticulture, and studied everything I get my hand on, and basically I'm just a plant addict. So that's really where more of the stuff comes from. I also want to say that I'm going to talk about propagation of native plants the way that I do it, and for the most part that's what we're talking about tonight. I want to open it up for anybody who has experience with plants to volunteer their information, and we can all share what we know about it. Okay. So anyhow, propagating native plants. So that's what I was asked to talk about. So basically the idea is it's pretty darn similar. I do it with the, of course the grasses are familiar, or you guys are familiar with dividing grasses. It's a pretty common thing. So, and there's a lot of native grasses and they can all be divided. The iris can all be divided. This over here, this is penstemon rudbergii, which is a meadow penstemon. A lot of penstemons can be divided. This one is an obvious one. It grows like a mat. It's rhizomatous. So rhizomatous means that it forms a lot of rhizomes, and all of those rhizomes have the potential to become a new individual, really. So it makes it a very easy one and a very obvious choice to divide. It's a lovely native that grows in the mountains. It's grows in meadows and almost mat-like. Of course, strawberry plants, in addition to dividing the crowns out, of course, they make those stolons, which root themselves everywhere. You know, the runners, basically. So the technical term for that runner is a stolon, which is like a rhizome, except for that it goes on the top, on the surface. So it wants to propagate itself, and it makes your life easy if you want more of those. The wild roses I consider to be division, because often the way you propagate those is to get the suckers. So you separate out the suckers. So basically you're pulling those off the side and making new plants out of those. And they have their own roots once you get in there and get them out. They generally have their own root, their own started root system. So it's a form of division. So blue-eyed grass and yellow-eyed grass, both are iris relatives, also very easy to divide. They have a similar structure to an iris. So you guys, I don't know if you're familiar, but a lot of the ferns, native ferns, can be divided. And they're a little trickier. They usually have a woodier central stalk often. And they can be divided by splitting that out, actually. And then, of course, yarrow, which is easy to propagate in any way or shape or form. But if you have a unique color, then you're going to want to do it asexually, that you are trying to preserve, like this red that's in the picture here. Because left to seed, you probably won't get that color again. It's not very likely. So they can be propagated by dividing. They can also be propagated by doing basal cuttings in the spring. you can do yarrows that way.
What was the first name of the first flower?
That's a heuchera. So it's
oh, okay.
That one is micrantha. So it's a native as well. So it's like coral bells.
That red yarrow, is that a native red?
It's considered native, but it's a freak of nature. The red color is not.
Most native yarrow is white.
White,
yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I guess.
And how this one got red, it's who knows.
That's special.
Variation.
See one of those, take it home.
Yeah,
no.
Exactly. So if you want to preserve that color, though, the seedlings probably won't do that. You know, you probably wouldn't get it back from a seedling. You'd need to divide it, do cuttings of it, do something with cloning it, basically. All right, so next slide going forward. All right, here we go. Cuttings. Yay, I know this is what you guys all want to hear about. Okay, so what goes on with cutting? So plants have... I won't get too technical, but in certain areas of the stem and or root and or wherever, there are certain cells that are undifferentiated. So basically, they haven't been assigned a job yet. They're just waiting there either to grow or to become leaves or flowers or stem, whatever is needed at any given time. And those are the ones that we can get to make roots, so adventitious roots, so roots that are not the initial part of the initial root system, basically. It's pretty neat how it works. So obviously different species have different needs for propagation from cuttings. There's different types of cuttings. Some are pretty cooperative and will root almost any time. But we'll go over some examples of various treatments. So we talk about cleanliness because disease is really a big thing, obviously, when you get in there and you're dealing with a severed piece of plant that wants to become a new plant. You know, you want to make sure you're not exposing it to a whole lot of rot organisms, basically. So a medium that I use almost all the time is peat and perlite again. And this one, peat and perlite. And this one can be, usually the perlite content is higher, more in the range of like 70, 30. And if you're growing something that is particularly prone to rotting, you can go, I've used various things like calcined clay, so it's or pumice. So it's almost like there's a lot of airspace in there as well, if it's particularly prone to rotting. So also mist is important for different times of the year. We can talk about that a little bit more, but for different, what are the requirements for different types of cuttings, basically?
Your peat and perlite mix, so isn't the perlite the 70?
Yes, the perlite is the 70. Sorry, that wasn't clear.
Do you ever use just sand?
You know what? I don't use sand. I know it can be done, and I have. You know, when I've gotten to that point where, like, I'm out of perlite. I'll just use this sand because I have these cuttings, and I have done. And also, you can mix sand in with your medium, especially for hardwoods, hardwood cuttings. I don't like it so much for softwood cuttings, because I do mine with a mist system, and the sand, it doesn't have the best drainage, actually, and there's not as much air spacing.
It stays too wet.
Do you use pumice?
I do use pumice, except for that it's more expensive than perlite.
Okay.
So I kind of use more perlite than I do pumice. I save the pumice for when I need it, when I have to have it, you know. But sand can be good for hardwood because it can help weight the container, and we can talk a little bit about that too. So they don't just blow all over in the wind. So, okay. All right, so softwood cuttings. Softwood cuttings are, and I'm kind of using this as a blanket term. There's varying types of softwood. There's tip cuttings, greenwood. What I'm talking about is anything where you're using the new growth, you know, the newest growth, not the the butter soft growth, but the newest growth that is pretty lushy still. It hasn't turned into wood yet, basically. Often these are done in the spring, because that's when a lot of new growth comes out, right? So that's basically what I'm talking about. And there are different forms. Sorry. Talking too much, gotta have a drink of water. Okay, so first what I've got up here is California aster. So botanical name is up to you. I'll know. Symphoritrichum is its new botanical name. It's no longer aster. Anyhow, I propagate this one with cuttings. And it'll pretty much do cuttings for me all season, you know. But you can divide this one as well, asters and seed. All of that is useful for aster. If you have a cultivar, though, you're going to need to do it from cuttings or dividing. Yes?
What time of year do you do softwood?
Softwood is mostly in the spring, but it does vary. Because remember we talked about that second growth flush that can come out? I brought this Cleveland sage. I'm going to show it to you guys. Anybody who wants to come up here after we're done, have you guys touch this thing, and I'll tell you which parts I feel are too soft, because it put out a new flush of growth in the fall, you know, once we hit fall. So it varies a little bit, but generally that's what you're talking about, is that first period of growth during the spring. And it usually isn't the very beginning, because then things are just way too succulent.
Like February.
Yeah, or the very beginning, even as early as March, they're often too succulent. They haven't had a chance to get any kind of hardness to them yet. And if they're just too soft, they'll just rot if you try to use them as cuttings. So I'm gonna let you guys touch this plant if anybody wants to. And I'll tell you about where I would cut it, based on what it's got there. I was touching it this morning going, yeah, it's almost all of it is too soft for me that I would think that I would use as a cutting. So, but mostly we're talking about spring, sometime in spring before we get to summer, right? Okay, so these softwood cuttings, you can propagate a lot of plants this way. This is probably the easiest time for most plants. Some things don't want to be propagated this way, but across the board, that's when the most are going to get propagated, is during that time. Everybody's just jumping, they're chomping at the bit to get out there and get growing, and they're able to root and become all kinds of different stuff. Okay, so I've got Carpenteria californica, which is, of course, an evergreen shrub, bush anemone. I propagate that one at various times during the year, but I find that the softwood cuttings seem to be the most successful for me. I get the most out of them. I've got, this is Artemisia, Pycnocephala, David's Choice. So this is Sandhill Sage. Sorry, I'm not very good at common names, you guys. That one I do a lot of toward the end of the softwood and the beginning of the semi-hardwood phase. And I do basal cuttings on that one. So that one's where each limb will have, you'll have a tuft, you know, and I will cut the tufts and root the tufts. So it's not each individual leaf, but it's each individual tuft, or a crown almost, like similar to what you would do with a heuchera, where it's a crown. It's a whole little stem with leaves on it, and that's the whole piece that gets rooted. Alongside that, we've got a ceanothus there. That one is Joyce Coulter. Again, it's one that I find I can propagate a lot of different times of the year. That's a good one, actually, for a little earlier in the season, like what we were talking about with the February, March. You can actually pull that one off if you've got a nice space where it's protected. And you can do them again toward the end of summer. But vigor-wise, this is probably, the spring is probably the best time before they start blooming, right? Once they start in blooming, then that's a problem. We don't really want to do a lot of cuttings of plants that are in bloom, basically, because the plants are putting energy into the flowering and not so much into growth. So that's prior to when they start blooming in the spring. So, and then you can do them again later in the season if you want to, if you miss that window. On the side there, I've got Kekiella cordifolia, which is climbing penstemon. What's our common name on that one? Anybody know? Is it climbing? Heartleaf penstemon. There's a lot of, that's why common names are challenging, right? Because there's so many different ones. So heartleaf penstemon is another native. It propagates beautifully in the softwood time of year, and is pretty slow every other time. Fremontodendron, anybody's got the really good ticket on that one? I'll take it. But so I, again, we'll do that one all times of the year. I've done hardwood with heel. I've done a lot of different forms, but by and large, every time I propagate it with cuttings, which you have to do if you want California glory, or you want, so all of those have to be asexually propagated. By and large, the most success comes out of the earliest flush of growth, and probably towards the end of it, right when it's getting a little bit harder, so not too soft. And you're still gonna have, I still have quite a few failures in that group. So it's not the easiest one to root, but we keep plugging away at it. So we've got a seaside daisy. Again, you guys wanna try cuttings. That is probably one of the easiest plants to do from cuttings. It's a lovely little plant, one of my favorites, especially because the deer don't like it.
Which one?
The little seaside daisy. So we grow Wayne Roderick, which is, it's actually a hybrid, a natural hybrid between two species, and it blooms all season long, and the deer don't eat it. I love it. It's a beautiful little perennial. It's very, very humble. But it's,
you can have all my deer.
It's
beautiful. Everything.
But very, very easy to propagate, and especially, again, the form of the plant is where it has the center, and then all these stems come out, and then they want to become new plants. If you take those and their little tufts of foliage on the top of that stem, they will root almost without hormone or anything for you. You know, at the right time of year. So that's a very easy one. The next one there is Penstemon newberii, which is mountain pride. It's really lushy in the spring. It's a beautiful, strong grower. It's one that tends to go more dormant midsummer. It's a local native. It kind of grows in rock garden type conditions. So it's not usually, almost always where there's a source of water, but it's growing in gravel, basically. That's kind of its modus de operandi. But in the spring, when it's first putting on its growth, I want you to understand, I don't mean right when it starts forming. I mean when that growth has a chance to start getting a little mature, and it's got, what I always say, lushy. It's still a lush appearance to it, but it's not super, super soft. But that one will propagate up very, very nicely. That's another penstemon next to it. Penstemons are pretty easy generally to do cuttings of, and spring is their favorite time to do. That's pinifolius, that's mercy yellow, the yellow one. It's very cute. And probably the second easiest one to do for cuttings of is the sticky monkey flower. That's another good one to try. Again, one that you can do almost any time, but it also has a tendency to do a summer dormancy. At least a semi-dormancy, so that's not the best time to do it. Though I have, I said, wake up! Time to grow roots, and it did. But usually it's those times.
Do all these flowers grow out in the mountains, in the woods,
yes,
valleys, and these natives?
Yeah.
And there are no master gardeners to take care of them? They do
none.
It all on their own?
None. Can you imagine that? They do
it all on their own.
So, technically, when we grow this, are they still native? Because now we're preparing the soil for them, we propagate them, we do this, we do that.
Well,
would that
native.
Still be considered a native?
Yeah, they're still native
or
plants.
Is a native a flower that grows on its own in the mountains?
Well,
how would you look at native flowers?
Native, okay, so when we use the term native, what we're talking about is really, it's a plant that has its origins here. You know, it doesn't mean that, and there's a lot of things that people call native ours now.
Mm-hmm.
So when we talked about Pozo Blue, Cleveland Sage, that's a native R, you know. So it's like, it's a native plant, but it's a selected. Usually in natives, it's selected. It's not something somebody has hybridized on purpose. It's often selected. It happened on its own, and somebody just preserved it because it had good qualities. Do you know what's funny is if you take cuttings that are really pretty, they're at the right time, probably will stay. They'll probably hold pretty good. But when I go out specifically to get cuttings, like I'm not saying out in the wild, because I don't. I have stock plants and I have things. A lot of plants I get from people's yards, you know, because they're growing it. And I get them to let me take cuttings, you know, of that. So, but if I was going to do that, what I would have with me would be a cooler in the car. But even just a little Ziploc bag with a paper towel in it will help you get it to where you need to go. But chances are good if it's the right time and it's not too soft, it probably will hold until you get it to where it needs to be. So, anywho, we've kind of gotten off track here, haven't we? A little bit. A little bit. Okay, so semi-hardwood cuttings are cuttings that are done mostly toward the end of summer. That's kind of the general idea. And what it means is that the wood is not, you know, totally hard yet, obviously semi-hard, but it's a more rigid than a soft wood cutting. Some of the things that propagate pretty well from that type of cutting, I've got Mahonia there. That kind of goes for any of them. If you're going to do a cutting, meaning not suckers or whatever, that one propagates pretty good from that time. Giant Sequoia, the best method that I know to propagate it from a cutting is to do an epicormic shoot, so a shoot that's coming right off of the main trunk. Oh, and I want to mention too that for cuttings, young plants are always better, right? You don't really want to. Old plants don't do cuttings very well. They're kind of too set in their ways. So young plants is what you're looking for that. So, but when they get that flush of growth where they're pushing out little bushy branches from the main trunk, I usually get those with my fingers, and that way you get a little piece of the main trunk. It's not much; it's just a sliver, but that's what's known as a heel, and that they propagate up pretty good from that. Some of the succulents are a little easier. The native succulents are a little easier at the midsummer because they're not quite as succulent, fleshy. You know, they're not quite as soft, basically, and they're already prone to rotting. Those are things that you would not put mist on, generally speaking, to do succulents. Not generally speaking. And that's a Lewisia there in the center. So incense cedar is another one where that same method that I just talked about, the little side branches, you know, and I usually use my fingers because I can just get it, and it'll have a little sliver of that main stem still attached, and that helps it. They're slow to root. So when I talk about using a heel, a lot of times the reason for that is because they're slow to root and they need a little bit of extra source of carbohydrate. So it gives them just a little bit more to go on while they're making roots. And this is something I wished I had a cedar or a giant sequoia for you guys to try that. But I didn't have one that was good enough in the pot. Ones I have are this big and it wasn't gonna work. But most time I don't use a clipper, I use my fingers, because it helps. It'll come off right in the right spot for those guys, for the conifers. The honeysuckles, the native honeysuckles, they'll propagate again almost every time. Any time of the year, you can do hardwood of them as well. It's usually by midsummer, you know where they are if you're wanting to do that. This one is Interrupta. This is a local native yellow flowered climbing honeysuckle. And I also grow a pink one, the pink California honeysuckle. So it's kind of nice. You've seen them bloom, you know which ones are which at that time. this is an Opuntia, so cactus, a native cactus, Bacillaris. Again, midsummer's a good time. They're usually done blooming, and there's a little bit less moisture in them that can cause rotting if you want to do them. Of course, they're really easy. The pads just go on medium and that's it. Mm-hmm. You can use rooting hormone if you want, but a light one, lightweight, but they are real easy to propagate, but it's just getting enough of them. So the last picture there is Agaria. And again, that semi-hardwood cutting with a heel is a good one for the Agaria, which is a big big evergreen shrub.
Common name?
Sorry, oh,
Silk tassel.
Thank you.
Sorry. Do you grow some of those, the
yes.
Silk tassel?
Yeah, okay. I'm just starting with the silk tassel. I've got some mother plants that I'm propagating.
I always check at your native plant sale and they never have them.
Yeah, I don't have that one out for sale yet. Sometimes same with the basil, there's the opuntia, the cactus there. I have it, I'm growing it, but I have to get it built up a little bit before I put it out for sale. So those are, anyways, those are some good ones for semi-hardwood. Semi-hardwood can be a little tricky for natives because we deal a little bit with that summer dormancy too, and usually it's towards the end of summer. So we'll go on to hardwood cuttings. Those are fun. That's what I brought here today to play with. Anybody wants to play with them? We'll go to the next slide, please. Okay, so here are some that are propagated with hardwood cuttings. Hardwood cutting is usually done during the dormant season, so winter, and they are done with quite, you know, mature wood. Usually the first year's growth, or the same year's growth, the growth from this last season, but by now it's gotten quite woody. And it is going to be pretty much exclusively used for shrubs and or trees, mostly shrubs. It's a lot of shrubs that go hardwood cutting and vines. So manzanitas are great as a hardwood cutting. So they propagate, I usually do them around January, February. That seems to be a good time for them. They take about 3 months to root, so come spring they're rooting up. But that's a good time to try manzanitas. That's what I do them, and maybe possibly do them a little earlier. But there's always that period of time where you're crossing over from the secondary flush of growth and into dormancy. You know, even if they're evergreen, they're usually fairly dormant in the wintertime. So thimbleberry is one that's very easy to do with hardwood cuttings. It's also suckers, you know, that could be dug, but I prefer not to dig up plants that are planted. So the hardwood's very easy. The California wild grape is quite easy from hardwood cuttings. In fact, I brought some today, and it is that color, that fall color. And for anybody who would like to try and play with it after. So this is a pink flowering currant, another hardwood. So basically we're dealing with stuff that's gonna be, the cuttings on hardwood cuttings can be larger. So you can actually stick a cutting that's a foot long, maybe 10 inches, as opposed to, like, the softer the wood, the smaller the cutting, basically, is how this goes. The tip cuttings or the softwood cuttings, they have to be pretty small because they are respirating. So they will lose more moisture than they can take up, you know, because they're in active growth. When they're dormant, they're not doing the same thing. They're not losing as much moisture. So you can actually have a cutting that is, you know, a foot long. And it's going to take 2 or 3 months to root, but you'll have that, you know. A lot of times hardwoods, people will leave them in the propagation can for a year, you know. I often do not, but that's the way that it goes. So I wanted to get that in there. The picture on the far left there is a Philadelphus microphyllus, which is a little leaf mock orange, also propagates quite lovely from hardwood cuttings. I did bring some of that one today too, if anybody wants to try and take some home. Snowberry is great from hardwood cuttings. That looks like an elderberry in that picture, but it isn't. It's a red twig dogwood in bloom. Our situation. Anybody want to play with some plants? Okay. Yay. Yay.